this meeting of the Arizona State Board of Physical Therapy, October meeting, October 22nd, 2019. And let's have a roll call.
Mr. Greer?
Here.
Dr. King?
Here.
Ms. Hunter?
Here.
Dr. Castillo?
Here.
Dr. Cornwell?
Here.
Mr. Flynn?
Here.
You have a quorum.
Okay. So let's start by a review and approval of draft minutes from the regular session meeting of September 24th, 2019. Any additions, changes, corrections? Hearing none, I move that we adopt them.
Second.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. Castillo?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Mr. Flynn?
Abstain.
Motion passes.
September 24th, 2019, executive session meeting minutes A.
The only thought I had is there were two board members absent that are not indicated in the minutes, even though there's a place to indicate them. That would be my only change.
On the executive? We'll make that change.
With that, I move to approve the minutes.
Okay. So
second.
Moving second with that change.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. Castillo?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Abstain.
All right. September 24th, 2019, executive session meeting minutes B.
Same comment. So with that, I'm going to approve the minutes.
Before, I do have to make a correction. I put down Ms. Baskin as the Assistant Attorney General, and it should be Ms. Elizabeth Campbell. So I will make that change.
With that change as well, to approve the minutes.
Second?
Second.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Should Mr. Greer abstain since he was not here?
I've read the minutes. I'm comfortable.
Okay. Yes. Dr. Castillo?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Abstain.
Okay. Item 3, consent agenda, review, consideration, and action. 3A, applications for licensure and certification. Review, consideration, approval, application for physical therapist licensure with documentation related to disclosure on personal information section of the application. Adam Brell. So,
I move to approve licensure.
Second.
Is it moved and seconded? Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. Castillo?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay. Then we have item 3A2, review, consideration, approval of applications for physical therapist assistant certification with documentation related to disclosure on personal information section of the application. Dakota Cornelius.
Move to approve certification.
Second.
Discussion. Hearing none, I'll call for the
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. Castillo?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Motion passed.
Okay. Last one in this section is Zachary Enyard.
Move to approve certification.
Second.
Discussion. Hearing none, I call for the vote.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. Castillo?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Mr. Flynn?
Yes.
Motion passed.
All right. Agenda item number 4. A, 4A, review of possible action on the following applications for physical therapist licensure, foreign educated graduates of programs not U.S. accredited. Review of proposal for an additional secondary supervisor for the supervised clinical practice period of Annika Agravante.
I'm sorry, that is a misprint on my part. Her name is Danica.
Danica.
And she is just getting her supervised clinical. She has practice actually in the U.S. and she is substantially equivalent.
Veronica, I didn't see a TOEFL score.
Her first language was English, so okay. She is not required one.
Right, thank you.
Uh-huh. So how long has she practiced in the U.S.?
Oh, wait, I'm sorry.
This is for secondary.
She hasn't.
No,
I'm that. She hasn't been had one. So I'm sorry, she has not had one.
Okay. All right. I move that we require her to complete supervised clinical practice period at a facility approved by the board. Is it 6 months or is it 500 hours?
500 hours.
So
they usually complete in six months, okay. But hence the next phase.
Okay. So 500 hours to be completed within 6 months.
Second.
Any discussion?
So is this partly to add a secondary?
No, I copied and pasted that.
Oh, no, okay,
sorry.
So, yeah, so she'll, okay. She'll come back with a proposal on facility and supervisor.
Right, to be approved.
Great, thank you.
Okay, then I'll call a question on Danica.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. Vestia?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Mr. Flynn?
Yes.
Okay, so now we move to.
Now, Jamila DeMaio, she is credentialed. She was found to be substantially equivalent, and she was issued a supervised clinical practice period. But she lives pretty far out in the outskirts, and she's having trouble completing it, so she needs the extension.
Do you know if...
She's almost finished. She just needs the...
So she has a facility. She
Correct.
Has a supervisor.
Correct.
It's hard to get the number of hours.
Right, because they're at this facility, there is only one PT, and so she can only work when that PT is working.
Okay. So the PT's not working 40 hours a week?
She is, but normally there should be a primary and a secondary, but because there is only a primary, it's taken her a little longer.
Seems reasonable then. I move to approve her request for an extension.
Second.
Any discussion? Okay. Call for that.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. Vestio?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Mr. Flynn?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
We have several informal hearings, first one at 9 o'clock, so let's move to agenda item 5B1, review, discussion, and possible action for review of initial review, 19-40, Jerry Watson, physical therapist.
Would you like us on here?
Yes.
So complaint 1940, Jerry Watson. The board opened a complaint against Mr. Watson in receipt of disciplinary action taken by the Washington Board of Physical Therapy and the Oregon Board of Physical Therapy regarding CEU compliance. Mr. Watson was required to submit his CEUs to demonstrate that he was compliant with the 2016-2018 compliance period, and he was.
Move to dismiss.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? All right. Hearing none. Call.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. Vestio?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Mr. Flynn?
Yes.
Motion passed.
The next would be case 19-38, Watson Sinclair, physical therapist assistant.
Complaint 1938, Watson Sinclair. Ms. Sinclair attested to completion of the Arizona jurisprudence exam, which she received her compact privilege for the state of Arizona on 9/24/19, knowing that she had failed the Arizona law exam on August 1st, 2019. Ms. Sinclair has passed the exam as of 10/12.
To be consistent with what we did last month, I move that we move this to a formal hearing.
Second.
Any discussion on that?
Yeah, please enlighten me of what happened at that.
All right, so Karen can correct me if I say wrong, but essentially she has a compact privilege but didn't follow all of the requirements to get it. So essentially she got it by an end run. So we decided to move it to a formal hearing, possibly looking at revoking or...
It'd be removing.
Yeah. Removing the privilege. Mm-hmm. She would still have her license on wherever she had, whatever scheduled.
Yeah, I mean, that was something I mentioned at previous board meetings.
Correct.
That we need to do in this type of case.
This licensee is compliant now.
Yeah.
So the reason to remove her privilege would be that she wasn't compliant for 6 weeks. It seems a little excessive to me after we voted no.
It's not that hard to follow the instructions on the website and to fail and not notify and accept compact privileges is not ethical.
I understand that this person made a mistake and has fixed it. Seems removing the compact privilege seems to be excessive.
I disagree.
I understand.
I think the challenge is we have these last month, got these this month. We'll probably continue to have them until, you know, the process is a little more clearly laid out for those who are applying or whatnot. We've got a lot of people who've done it right. I understand what you're saying now that she's passed, she's good, but the fact is she did have a license or privileges to practice in the state without meeting all of the requirements, as did many of the others that we had last month. Some did pass, some didn't pass. So I think as a board, our challenge is to try and be consistent to reduce risk of where do we draw the line.
I understand, but we're talking about 16 days, 18 days. She didn't have it for 18 days.
Would it have been 280 days?
I think that's a different question, but this case is 18 days.
So is that where we'll draw the line then? Within 18 days, if you got it, you're good?
No, I think if you...
I think
holding a formal hearing to remove a compact privilege over 18 days when she acknowledges she made a mistake, I think that's just excessive. I think this is, we want to do a fine thing. I think that's very appropriate. We want to, and we can discuss that at the formal hearing.
Right.
But
just because we're having a formal hearing doesn't mean that we will remove it. It's just staying consistent with what we did with the others, prior ones. What the outcome of the final hearing will occur during the final hearing.
I think it's important for the board to be consistent in their decisions.
I guess my point is that she should never have had the privilege to begin with.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
So, any further comments?
I agree. She should never have had it. It's a failure of the Compact Commission to adequately do their job. And, as with everybody, if you're attesting to that you pass something and you haven't, in my mind, a real game stopper. And I understand where Mr. Greer's coming from. It's 18 days. But, you know, I think in this, the situation that the Compact Commission has put us in is that we have to take a hard line in order to draw their attention to the problem. And unfortunately, people who have incorrectly, for one reason or another, filled out their application to the commission are going to pay the price for this. And we need to really just take a hard line until the Compact Commission steps up and do what they're supposed to do.
If there are no further comments and questions.
We have a motion on the floor to move to a formal hearing. Mr. Greer?
No.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay. Case 19-25. Jason Branson.
On complaint 1925, Jason Branson. The board opened complaint 1925 after review of complaint 1844, Kristen Patterson, PGA. The board alleges that Mr. Branson engaged in substandard care and inadequately supervised Mr. Patterson on dates of service September 25th through the 28th, 2019.
Case, the PTA just quit without
Yeah, he just didn't show up for work. That's correct. He didn't actually put in any formal notice, so he just stopped going.
And the question is that the supervising PT wasn't aware that patients would not be seen.
That's the allegation. That's the allegation.
Yeah, if you read his response, he said he found out about it for the same day and would be in the morning the next day.
When I did home health as a PTA, I spoke with the PTA prior to going out to see the patients just to make sure that my supervising physical therapist was comfortable with the acuity of the patient and just to keep in touch with them. So I feel that this is what this PT should have done with his PTA.
Yes. Is there a second? That seems to fail by lack of a second. Any other motions?
I move to move this to an informal hearing.
Is there a second to that?
Matt, no, the house is here.
I second.
Yeah.
I was anxious to see what the middle ground was going to be.
Yeah, right?
The middle ground is undecided because it appears that many of the patients that were in question either had been discharged or were in the hospital. Mm-hmm. And so there was failure to communicate. That is absolutely obvious. But were the patients truly not seen, or were they themselves unavailable or already removed from service? So I think there's definitely some questions there.
I agree. It's just that I'm looking at if there had been patients that were not in the hospital or unavailable,
right.
That this seems to be a pattern that this physical therapist has in supervising the PTA, which is really not the correct way of doing things.
And what you're looking for would be a call or email or some communication on the morning of the 25th, right?
Correct. The PTA has to know that they're able to contact the PT in case something happens, and to discuss with the PT their patient.
I guess I'm looking, I'm still looking for something. Maybe we'd end up in the same place.
Well, I'm comfortable if you want
to write one. Well, I was just trying to decide whether or not a letter of concern, letter of censure or something.
That's the middle ground.
That's the middle ground.
That's the middle ground.
I'd be comfortable.
And that's what I would, yeah, so.
I withdraw my motion for me.
Is the second withdraw?
I withdraw my second.
What would you want the letter of concern to say, Ms. Hunter?
You know, you're really better at that.
Well, I just want to know what you wanted to say. Is it that he should have more contact?
He should have more contact with his the PTA that he's supervising, so he understands that he has to approve and know the acuity of the patient prior to the PTA going out.
Like, doesn't he have to actively delegate?
And actively delegate.
And that, that requires a conversation.
Right. So it's not like you're just handed a list of patients by who knows who. And then your supervising PT is so-and-so, and then you just go off.
So a letter of concern stating and supervising PTAs, the licensee should have daily contact and delegation, the daily contact with the PTA to discuss patient acuity and delegate tasks.
You said that very well.
You get that?
I was thinking just put in, however, you have no motion
on the table.
That was my motion. So,
well, that's true.
Now we need a second.
We did not. But we need a second to do. Okay,
thank
now we
you.
Have one. I was just thinking of citing the regulation, because I thought the regulation is fairly clear on what he should
be doing.
But I think your statement gets to the same point.
So the motion on the floor is for an advisory letter that will educate Mr. Branson to have more contact with PTA, know the acuity of the patient, and actively delegate patients on a daily basis prior to treatment.
Which you should know already.
This is why it's a letter of concern.
And don't ever do this again.
Yes. Put your hand down.
I did a second. Mm-hmm. It's been moved and seconded.
And the other comments, are you comfortable with what's in the letter?
Well, I feel part of the letter, especially in a home health situation, should entail more communication with the home health agency, because if people were discharged and the therapist doesn't know this, I mean, where is this discharge coming from, and how is this getting to become common knowledge?
So who discharged
the patient? If it wasn't the PT, so I don't know if somebody can make sense of that.
Yeah, it's been a long time since I worked in that setting, but I never found out when they were discharged.
Right. Well,
and I go, oh, the room's empty. They're either discharged or dead. So I hope that they're discharged.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah, right. Anyway, there just seems to be a lack of communication all the way
overall.
You got the little added part?
I'm with you.
All right. Are you ready for the question?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Mr. Grew?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Mr. Flynn?
Yes.
Motion passes to issue an advisory letter.
Okay. Do you want to try to get a hold of Carolina?
Do one more. It's going to be quick.
Carolina's going to be on the phone. That's why we can skip over and do Robert McIntyre if you want.
Oh, which would you prefer?
Well, how long do you think it would take
to connect? Well, you going to tell me if we're putting this case on the phone or not? To connect, dial the number and see if she answers. Less than 30 seconds.
Let's do it.
All right, let's do it. So we can play 19. Oh, wait till she gets on the phone. Carolyn, come in.
3 months.
That's right. That, you could have let it go to a message.
No.
Try. Just to make sure she's not available. She said she tried to make herself available today, so.
Hello?
Oh.
Carolina?
Yes.
Hi, this is Veronica with the AZPT. We're having our board meeting.
Hi.
Hold on one second.
All right. Good morning. Thank you very much for making yourself available. Okay. So
complaint 1934, Carolina Montgomery. Ms. Montgomery attested to completion of the Arizona jurisprudence exam when she received her compact privilege on 9/4/19. Ms. Montgomery has passed the Arizona law exam as of 10/18/2019.
Okay, we are here trying, you know, this is considered an initial review, trying to decide where to go from this point. Do you have anything you'd like to say?
Yes, first of all, I want to thank you, everybody for allowing me to speak to the board and address this. I want to say that I'm very sorry. It was an honest mistake. I don't know why or how I misunderstood that. I took it as I was going, I did the compact license, which I had started in August asking questions following that Alexandria, Virginia, asking how to go about this, because I'd never done it before. I've been practicing for 26 years in Texas with not ever having any kind of complaint at all. In all these years, I've practiced in several different settings here in Texas. And so I initiated this compact license, and I misread it, and I thought it said, if I was going to be taking it, or so I answered yes, I think, to that, because I must have thought, yes, I'm going to take it. I'm already scheduled for it. I scheduled the exam on 8/26. So I think that's how I took it, and I did not do anything to be deceptive. I was very surprised when I got the email notification from Karen stating, that I had falsely answered that question. I was very, very sorry. I guess I'm still in shock. I hope, Karen, I've lost sleep over this. I've never, been in trouble with any, state board. And I don't know if I just rushed through it and thought that once I got that approval to take the jurisprudence exam, I got some kind of confirmation saying, congratulations, you're now able to take a jurisprudence exam, and it says, congratulations, your transaction is complete. This is the record of your transaction and instructions for next step. So I just took that as, yes, I plan to take the test. Yes, I plan to pass it. And I'm very sorry. I did not initiate this to be, to be deceptive to the board at all. Like I said, it made me very, very upset for myself that I would never risk my life, my livelihood. I have respect, for your regulations. I do understand that each state is different, so I can't tell you, how much I feel so bad about this.
Ms. Montgomery, this is Joshua Greer. I'm a board member. Between September 4th, 2019 and October 18th, 2019, did you actually practice in Arizona?
No, sir.
Thank you.
Dr. Donahue, just refresh me, doesn't it, Ms. Montgomery, my name is Peggy Hunter, I'm a physical therapist assistant. Dr. Donahue, doesn't it say on the website in red that the jurisprudence exam must be completed before applying for a compact?
It does.
Were you aware, obviously you weren't aware of that, Ms. Montgomery. Did you not see that?
I did not see that. I did not see anything in red. I did talk to Karen again, just to let her know that I was taking, you know, planning on taking the exam, and she even told me that it was there twice, which again surprised me. This was just last week that I think I spoke with Karen, and she did tell me, well, you had two chances, and I was very surprised. I did not see anything in red, and like I said, I think I just took it as, I must have misunderstood it as, yes, I am registered, I'm taking this jurisprudence exam. I have never had to take, I've taken jurisprudence exams before, and I've never had to go to a testing site. So I don't know what I thought. I thought that it meant that I was going to be taking it, I'm scheduled to take it, and I answered the question, yes. Like I said, this was very new to me. I did the compact license for Missouri, Colorado, and then Arizona at the same time. And like you said, I do understand more clearly now, after especially studying the exam, for the exam, that each state is different. So the other states did not require me to do the same steps.
All right, thank you.
Does anyone have any further questions for her?
No, sir.
Okay. Is there a motion?
I make a motion to move this to a formal hearing.
Second.
So moved and seconded. Any discussion?
Same discussion from the last meeting.
Okay. All right. Is everyone ready for a vote? Okay.
Mr. Greer?
No.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay, Carolina, this concludes this. Thank you very much for being available. You will be hearing from a member of the staff for the next step, okay?
Okay, so from what I've heard, there's a motion to file a formal complaint.
No, the complaint's already been filed, so to speak. This was an initial review, and it's been moved to a formal hearing. So you'll have an opportunity to come before the board again, and then a decision will be made. Okay? So this...
Okay.
We're just kicking the can down the road. All right?
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
I think I turned it off. No, I didn't. I think the speaker. It is? Yep. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I'm smarter than the phone.
Let's go up to 5A, case number 19-01, Stephen Sorensen, PTA. This is an informal hearing.